Welcome to the podcast of Kingsway Community Church, a community inspired by love to live differently. If you'd like to connect with us online, join us at one of our churches, make a financial contribution, or discover more about Kingsway, head to www.kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app by simply searching Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this podcast will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
Thank you, Shireen. Thank you, team. Beautiful worship this morning. Half the team was sick this morning, and look at what God does with these faithful few. You just give them a clap this morning. Beautiful. Appreciate them. We appreciate you. So here we are in our prayer experiment series, and the 24 hours of prayer may be over. You know, I'm a little bit low on sleep this morning, but I'm very high on Jesus, so that's a good thing, hey? 24 hours of prayer might be over, but I feel like we're just beginning in what God wants to do in us in this month of prayer. So I'm excited to bring a word around praying together this morning. Last week, Brett spoke to us about intercessory prayer. And this morning, I want us to just explore the idea and the power of what it means to pray together as one church, as one congregation. But before we get into that, on your seats you will see paper. Have a look around. It's called prayer stretches. Can I just have that one? Looks like this. And as well as praying together, we want to really encourage you to stretch yourself in prayer. And there's over 15 options on here. Or you might even think of a different one that we haven't thought. But we'd like you to take one or two of these, have a look through this list and spend some time with God and say, how do you want to stretch me this month in prayer, in my personal prayer life? And to choose one of those and to commit to investing some time and energy in growing in prayer in that way. And in our e-news, in our Be Connected every week, there will be some resources attached that give you more information and just a little bit more guidance in how to stretch in some of these areas. So look out for that. Actually, it's not coming in Be Connected, is it? It's coming in a special prayer email. For those of you that sometimes ignore Be Connected, it's coming in a special prayer email. You cannot miss it. So I encourage you in your life groups, with people around you, let someone know which one you're going to stretch in. Talk about it in your homes with your family because it's great. We're going to be doing that now in our life group coming up to encourage and support one another in those stretches. So last week, Brett shared the two big ideas around prayer for us this month out of Acts 4. And they are, the first one was that we are in this together, so let's pray together. And the second one was that prayer precedes transformation. But this morning, I really felt God lead me to bring those two ideas together. And so the big idea for this morning is that praying together precedes transformation. We got it up there? Thank you. So before we get into the praying together part, I wanted us to think a little bit about this idea of togetherness. And the tension I feel, I don't know if you feel it, but the growing tension around this sense of togetherness in our modern day world. You know, I think we live in a time and a place and a season in the world where we're more connected than we've ever been, but there's also this kind of growing sense of separation from each other and from community. But what's of even greater concern to me than what's happening in our world? And if I'm honest, what has really been grieving my heart recently is that I feel this sense of separateness seeping into the church too. Churches as a whole, but into our church here at Kingsway. You know, a couple of Sunday nights ago, we were meeting for prayer, as we've been doing, and we just felt God impressing this on our hearts. To pray for unity in the church, to pray for connectedness, to pray into this sense of disconnect that's going on in our community and seeping into the church. And I remember Dion was there and he said these words. He said, you know, it's like we're a bunch of friendly strangers. And they just hit me in the heart and they haven't left. Because I felt, yeah, it's kind of true. We're kind of busy rushing around, doing our thing. We come in and out. And we're super welcoming, super friendly. And I really think anyone can walk in the doors and they would feel loved in this community. But on the other hand, there's kind of a disconnect. There's a sense that I don't really know what's going on in your heart or in your life. And I believe with all of my heart that this is not what God wants for his church. You know, when we read the word, we see that his heart for togetherness is woven through his story, through the pages of his word. And so I want to just look for a minute at the biblical pattern that God gives to us. You know, there's three things that I see in the word of God. First, the pattern that the church is a family. You know, Jesus taught us that as followers of Jesus, we are part of the family of God. In Romans 8 and Ephesians 1, you can read about the fact that we are God's children. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, and we are adopted into his family. We become brothers and sisters in Christ. The church isn't just supposed to be an organization or a great community project. It's a family. It's a dynamic, living expression of God, who he is and his heart to the world. The church is a family. Secondly, the church is described as a body. The church is described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 as the body of Christ. We're not to be lone rangers, but we're part, connected parts of a living organism. Christ's body, the church. You know, it's a perfect analogy because no part of the body can function by itself. No part of the body can nourish itself or serve itself. Every part is connected, whether hurting or rejoicing. There's a deep dependency and connectedness of parts in the human body, and so it should be in the body of Christ. You know, the truth is that we cannot experience the fullness of God apart from the people, apart from his people, apart from the body on our own. So the church is a family and the church is a body, a group of connected parts that need and rely upon each other. And thirdly, the church is described as one unit. In John 17, we find Jesus' longest recorded prayer in the Bible for the church and for his disciples and for us. And in it, when we read it, we discover his greatest desire for us, his people. I mean, he could have prayed about anything for you and me. But this is what he prayed. I ask not only for these disciples, but also for all those who will one day believe in me through their message. So this is his prayer for us. I pray for them all to be joined together as one, even as you and I, Father, are joined together as one. I pray for them to become one with us so that the world will recognize that you sent me. For the very glory that you have given to me, I have given them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for they will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. So this was Jesus' prayer, that we would be one, that we would be family, that there would be a sense of togetherness and dependency and interconnectedness amongst the people of God. So that's the biblical pattern. So what's causing the separation? What's threatening our sense of togetherness? Our sense of unity as the family of God? Well, I came up with three things. I'm sure there's more, but these are the three that I've been given a lot of thought to. The first one is time. Put your hand up if you feel like you've got enough time. Anyone in the room? You do. Maybe. Right. Coming your way. As soon as that knee's fixed, I've got more for you to do. You know, we've got so many demands on our time. You know, families, like so many of us are dual income now. You know, there's demands. We're working, we're busy, we're juggling kids. There's more choice than there's ever been before. There's more opportunity than there's ever been before. There's more kids' activities and there's more entertainment on offer than there has ever been before. You know, and I often feel out of time and at the mercy of my calendar. But this year I've also experienced some really beautiful moments of togetherness, rallying with people around a common purpose. You know, when we went to Cambodia, the beautiful, rich experience of being in a team, intensely together for 10 days. Down at Arrow, when Dave and I go down, that's another community that we've become a part of for a couple of weeks a year. And, you know, 24/7 for 5 days, we are learning leadership together with a different bunch of people. And it's intense and it's beautiful community. You know, I'm training for Oxfam and there's 4 girls, you know, with Shireen, and we're on the track. And there's a sense, there's a bond, there's a special richness of community that's building amongst those 4 girls as we take on that challenge together. But to do all of those things, even to come to the 24 hours of prayer on the weekend, it's costly because it means not doing other things. It means not being other places. It means being deliberate and disciplined about where I've invested my time. And it's been hard at times to give time to those things, but it's been so, so rich. You can't buy the richness that has been deposited into my life through these experiences of community. You can't buy it anywhere else. But it means physically putting yourself in the space. You know, I noticed this year with Hillsong Conference, if any of you saw the promotion, their tagline was "Experience the Room." So I don't think, you know, I think churches everywhere, you know, it's easy to experience Hillsong Conference from your lounge room these days because of online and downstream, downloading, streaming, the whole thing. But there's something about being in the room with somebody else, being physically present around purpose. The second thing I think that is threatening our togetherness is that our personal relationship with Jesus has become private. You know, one of the characteristics that sets Christian faith apart from any other religion or set of beliefs is an invitation to a personal relationship with God through receiving Jesus Christ. This is what I love about being a Christian, that we worship a God who wants to speak to us personally, and we no longer need to involve a third party, a priest, a mediator, or a pastor to engage in a relationship with God. However, I don't think that God ever intended the personal to become private. And when our relationship with Jesus becomes something we do in private, I feel like we end up really, really vulnerable. You know, I grew up as a Christian in a house. I didn't have Christian parents, and so my relationship with God became very private. That was my practice because it was something I did alone in my room. And I'm also an introvert, so that's my natural tendency, is to do my relationship with God alone. And this year, God really challenged me to stop journaling for a little while, because that's how I would kind of spend time with God. And what it's forced me to do, and what the gift has been, is that I've had to verbally process with other people because I was no longer processing on the page. And it's been such a gift, because now, this year, I've had more people speaking into my journey, different perspectives, people reminding me of truth, people challenging me, people holding me accountable to the things that I want to do, that God's saying to me, people affirming me and people supporting me. These are the gifts that we have when we share our relationship with Jesus with one another. And the last of the threats that I've got there is self-sufficiency. As I was saying before, you know, today you can experience just about everything from the comfort of your own home. And you can access most of what you need without the help of anybody else. It's no different when it comes to church. You can get most of what you need for spiritual growth on your own. You can download worship albums. You can listen to podcasts. You know, some people would say it's, you know, it's kind of easier that way because there's no people. You can just do God without the people. You know, but there was a time in history where the people of God didn't have their own copy of the written word. There were no worship albums available on iTunes. There was a time when faith was experienced together, where people needed each other to grow in their faith and experience the fullness of God's glory. And I don't think that truth has changed. I think the truth is we still desperately need each other in order to grow and in order to experience the fullness of God's grace and glory. We're not comfortable with desperately needing things, I don't think, anymore. We want to be self-reliant, independent, self-sufficient. But I think that that's the truth, and it's something we need to become more comfortable about, that we desperately need one another. So prayer, we're back to prayer. Prayer is one of the few things, I think, that you cannot experience in all its fullness alone. Yes, you can pray to God and you can hear God, but you can't really pray for yourself in the same way that someone can minister to you. There's an element to prayer that you will never experience on your own. And that's why I think prayer is a proven antidote to the disease of separateness. You know, when we come together, when we pray together, God uses that prayer to unify us. In Romans 15, Paul prays like Jesus did in John, and he says that he prays that the Spirit of God that gives endurance and encouragement will also give to the church a spirit of unity. We are one with God through faith in Christ, and because of that, he shares his glory with us. It's the glory of God powerfully at work in us that unifies us. Despite our sin, despite our offenses, despite our hurt, despite our different opinions and beliefs. It's only His Spirit that can bind us together with one heart, one mind, and one mouth to glorify God. The Message translations of Romans 15 paints such a beautiful picture of what this unity is like. I think I've got a slide up there, Kev. It says, "Then we will be a choir, not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony, in a stunning anthem to the God and Father of our Master Jesus." I just love that picture of a choir. Abzi's a choir conductor. She's been conducting choir this week. And I know she would tell you that there's a big difference between a whole lot of voices singing at the same time. You can attest to this, Shireen. And a choir who is singing in harmony. But I would love for people to say that about our church, that Kingsway Church. They are a stunning anthem to God. I mean, I think if we could be known as the stunning anthem, I would be proud to be a part of a church like that. Not just our voices, but our lives singing in harmony to glorify God. The other thing that happens when we pray together is we create space for God to move and be among us. Matthew 18:19 tells us that when two or three gather in God's name, there He will be with us. His living, manifest presence with us. And with God's presence comes the fullness of love and healing and restoration and reconciliation and joy and peace. You know, it's really beautiful to come into a service like this and to receive a personal word from God. And pray. But what I feel really challenged about is that we create more space when we gather together, whether it be in service or life groups or ministry teams, where we can share the testimony of how God is moving in our lives. You know, when someone shares a testimony of what God is doing in their life, it brings glory to God. It's not about them. It's about glorifying God. And then someone over here might say, hey, God's doing that same thing in my life. And someone over here, and suddenly we start to see a common thread of how God is moving and what God is saying and what he's wanting to do for others who are amongst us. So that's something that I'm committed to, and I know Dave is committed to, is creating more spaces when we gather together to pray together, to share testimony, to pull out the common threads of what God is doing. If we read on in Matthew 18, it says, we continue to discover that not only will God be with us, but he will work in powerful ways on our behalf. It goes on to say, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, if two or three of you agree about on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. What an incredible promise. You know, we've been praying together all weekend, 24 hours, praying over all of your lives, every ministry, every part of this church. And I believe that we're going to see the fruit of those prayers begin to unfold over the coming weeks and months as God works on our behalf. We're going to see the things that we have brought before him coming to pass. Not only do we discover that God is with us, but that he will work in powerful ways on our behalf. So praying together precedes transformation. When we pray together, God unifies us, and when we pray together, we create space for God to move and be among us. So I wanted to leave some time this morning, not just to share a word with you around the importance of gathering together in prayer, but to create some space for us to gather together in prayer. So Dave's going to come and he's going to lead us in a time of corporate prayer, and he's going to lead us in sharing communion, not as individuals today, but together as a community, as we come together and join together around our common purpose, around the name and gift of Jesus. So thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you, Kim. I'll share a brief story on prayer and in the power of gathering two or three together, and there the Father is in the midst, and beyond that, then he works in power. On Tuesday night, for a few weeks, we've been running Tuesday night train and pray, we're calling it. It's for the boys and any blokes. This is an invitation for you as well. To come along and join us if you need to lose a couple of kilos and exercise in the spirit. That's what we're all about. About 2 weeks ago, we prayed. Actually, let me backtrack even further. Back in May, I went to Fiji with the guys from Sea Change to our Books Over the Sea project over there. And while I was there, something happened back at home in Rocky's sleeping pattern. And the whole week that I was gone, he would refuse to leave Elisa's side at night time, which, if a parent and you've been in that situation, sleep deprivation turns humans into animals. And this was kind of our existence for 2 months, where broken sleep right through the night with Rocky was really affecting our family and our me and Elise and all of that. It was bad. Anyway, on Tuesday night, about 2 weeks ago, we were just sitting at... gone for a run, and we're just sitting on the ground at Green Hills Play Equipment there, and I asked for prayer from the guys. Just this is really getting to our family. Would you pray that Rocky's sleep would be fixed in Jesus' name? And we sat there, and I think it was Muzz that just as we were praying came around, and he just prayed a very simple prayer, nothing of extraordinary elegance. Just a very simple, Lord, you are here and you care about Rocky's sleep and our family, would you fix this? And from that night on, Rocky has not had one night of broken sleep. And that was 2 months of almost terror at night time in our family. And when the boys get together and when the girls get together, I love in Psalm 133, it says, behold, how good and pleasant is it when the brothers and sisters dwell in unity. And this was an example of that, where the brothers in that moment dwelt in unity. And then the scripture goes on in that moment and says, it's like the dew of Mount Hermon. This is talking about in Jerusalem now. It's like when dew melts off the snow-capped mountain of Mount Hermon, and it runs down onto the hills of Zion. And the hill of Zion is quite an insignificant little piddly hill in comparison to the Mount of Hermon. And it's quite a distance away. So it's not like just unity is just like a trickle of snow melt that runs down the mountain in some form of insignificance. But when unity exists in the body, when the brothers and the sisters dwell in unity, it is like a blessing of God that runs from the highest mountain as far as it can through the city, and it affects down to every part. And on what Kim has brought this morning, I believe, and it was quiet in the room and quiet even in my soul, because how challenging is it when our worldview and our busyness gets challenged? The things we often find our identity in, the things we give our time to that make us feel like we're of importance. And when that gets challenged with a sense of let's not do life for ourselves, but let's come around a common cause and do life in togetherness, we get challenged to the deepest parts. But the scripture reminds us that the blessing of God is life evermore when we dwell in unity. And the beautiful thing is we don't have to work for this, because it's Jesus who's done it. The unity is something we don't have to just dream up or think is a good idea. But when Jesus walked the earth and when he came and gave his life at the cross made equals of us all. There wasn't one that he didn't die for. There wasn't any undeserving. In that moment of his death and the moment of his resurrection, all of humanity was invited to stand in unity in the saving grace of Jesus. And so this morning we're going to remind ourselves together of the saving grace of Jesus. And so we're going to take communion together, and we're going to hold our communion and we're going to take it together. And I've got a couple of prayers that we're going to pray together. So I want to invite you to just come forward, and there's one at the back as well, on either side, one at the back. You come and grab the little cup and a biscuit. I invite everyone to take part in this and then come back to your seat, and then we're going to carry on. So take a moment, come and grab a piece of biscuit and cup, head back to your seat and hold on to it. We're going to get back to the old school. We're going to do some, I'm going to say a line. It's going to be on the screen in a moment. I'm going to read a line, and then we're all going to say a line of this together as we join voices together. Here is our act of unity, and this is us as a community together affirming our belief of who Jesus is. And Father, we pray as we come to this time right now that this would be a gift to you. Father, this is your church gathering as a family, as the body, as one. And Father, we declare these things for your glory in Jesus' name. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is the true and living God, worthy to receive glory. He created all things.
By his will, they existed and were created.
We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
All things came into being through him.
He is the image of the invisible God,
the firstborn of all creation.
In him, all things in heaven and on earth
were created.
He himself is before all things.
And in him, all things hold together.
Being in the form of God, he emptied himself. Being found in human form, he humbled himself.
He became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures.
He was buried, he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
God also highly exalted Jesus.
He gave him the name that is above every name.
God has put all things under his feet. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. As all die in Adam, thanks be to God. Amen. Let's take communion together. Let's pray together, and we'll say this one all together as well. We thank you, God, for the blessings of your table, for the life-giving story, for the living bread and the wine of new creation, for the love you taught us, for the sacrifice you made for us, and the hope you give us. We give all thanks and praise to you, Jesus. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Christ Jesus, come in glory. Unify us by your Spirit with one heart, one mind, and one purpose. Make us one body in Christ. Send us, we pray, in the strength of this meal, as your messengers into the world. With creative words and compassionate service, help us to forgive generously, love extravagantly, and live abundantly. Amen. So, Father, this is our prayer, that we would indeed be one, as you and the Father are one. Father, may we dwell together in unity. Father, laying aside the risk and temptation of separation in our lives. Father, you call us to a deeply passionate, intimate relationship with the Father. But you call us to be a family, to be a body, and to be a community connected as one. So, Father, remind us of our priorities. Remind us of your love. Remind us of your grace. And Father, fill us with vision for the life that you call us to. Now, God, we are a community inspired by the love of God to show a different way to live. Now, God, may our unity and our dwelling together be a testimony of your goodness, and may it be an example of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.